I have mental health committee update next.
Yes, that's fine. So Walt, would you come on up? And Mary, please. And Dr. Lawson. I want to just thank our two board members, Stephanie Izzard and Michelle Guyton, for the last year and a half or more work towards this effort for mental health. And I think that the committee work has been very productive, and I think the board will see the results of that today. So thank you to our board members and their work.
I second that. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would also like to echo what Dr. Simon has said in thanking Ms. Izzard and Ms. Guyton, and also you, Dr. Simon, for your direction, your guidance, and for the work that you have assisted us in doing with the Mental Health Committee. Ms. Nelson was not able to be here today, but certainly everyone realizes the important impact that she has had on the committee and the phenomenal work that she has done as well. At the October 2017 board meeting, the Mental Health Committee gave the initial report on the future initiatives, goals, and objectives of the Mental Health Committee. And at that time, the board was informed that additional presentations would be provided relating to specific achievements and accomplishments of the group. So that is why we are here today, to give you a presentation that will provide you with information about the committee's accomplishments.
Thank you. Good morning. Just some background. As you know, you formulated a study group, and what we want everyone to know that we are continuing the work and ensuring that the work is completed, specifically on the focus areas that we have here before you. In October, we gave you the briefing, the previous briefing about the recommendations and the proposal. We now have a three-year plan, which we have shared with the committee. We have some revisions to dates that we are going to be doing to that plan, and once that is done, we're happy to share that plan with the committee and with the state board. In terms of implementation, and on December 8th, we hosted, the Maryland State Department of Ed hosted the Suicide Prevention and Child Prevention. This conference was attended by a number of individuals, supervisors from across the state, including school counseling, school psychologists, directors of student services, child abuse coordinators, and Dr. Guyton, who was there for the entire day, addressed the group, and participated in the work at that December 8th meeting. The speakers addressed areas such as suicide prevention, trauma-informed care, effects of trauma on the brain. It was a very meaty, intense discussion conference addressing the objectives that you see before you. In addition, we wanted you to know that the Education Behavioral Community of Practice, which is an interdisciplinary group of professionals, individuals from the Maryland State Department of Ed, University of Maryland, the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Juvenile Services, the Maryland Coalition of Families, Mental Health Association of Maryland, and local Project AWARE, which is Advancing Wellness and Awareness of Resistance in Education coordinators, meet. They actually met on Friday, and we wanted to share that with you. Dr. Nelson, who is, as Dr. Lawson said, is not able to be with us this morning because she's this morning meeting with all the school psychologist supervisors across the state. But we wanted you to know that on Friday, Dr. Nelson was able to share with these representatives at that meeting, and the group expressed their appreciation of the work that MSDE is doing to support and promote mental health efforts in schools across the state. So this broad-based group was informed about all of the work that's going on by the state board, by the Maryland State Department of Ed, and really were appreciative. So I think that speaks well for the work that's going on. We have been implementing a number of things, and we did create, as I said, the action plan. What the action plan does is take all the work, but it holds us to the completion of the work. So one of the things that we've completed is the resource guide. for mental health and awareness. We've posted that, made it available. We've also developed in the process. We have a website, but what we're really committed to, and the team of Walt and Deb have, and their team, are really looking at the website, making sure that all of the information is useful and important, that the phone numbers, the hotline numbers are there. And once we really go through and make sure that's in really, really good shape, we then are going to ask through, since May is the month of mental health, and we're going to be talking about that and the efforts that we're going to be doing, to really highlight that on the front of our website so folks are not digging in and seeing where things are. We've also completed a resource for LEA so that they do not have to be looking for what are some experts, that we're providing them information.
Okay, and good morning. Just a little bit more about the implementation of our plan. We're currently in the process of working with identified trainers and a pilot for human trafficking with our partners at Araminta. And they are, we've worked with three local school systems, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Prince George's County. And through that program, we've trained over 2,400 individuals, student services representatives, school psychologists, counselors, pupil personnel workers, school resource officers, and teachers were trained as well. And as a result of that training, after the pilot was administered, over 90% of the participants said that they would know what to do if they came into a situation where there was suspected human trafficking. We're also in the process of developing a regulation, which you will hear about a little bit later today, which actually extends, and this is the Certified School Personnel Training Requirement, which extends the requirements of Lorenz Law, which was passed in 2015, which required mental health training and education for school counselors as part of their maintenance of their certification. House Bill 920 does is extend that requirement to all certificated school personnel. So what that does is give a broader base of professionals that would be on hand to identify and then appropriately refer students to additional help if needed. Mary mentioned the three-year action plan, which we're in the process of revising and implementing. It is a living, breathing document, so as changes come, we will be revising the document and then providing regular updates to both the Mental Health Committee and to the State Board. And we'd also like to, and this is exciting, to talk about the partnership with the Maryland Center for School Safety. Last week, there were three regional trainings on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of March with the Safe and Sound organization. And with that organization, we heard from a parent from Sandy Hook. We heard from a teacher at Columbine. And we also heard from a survivor of the Virginia Tech incident. And all of that really talked about how to restore the community after a tragedy. And also, another thing that was striking about that was not only do we provide mental health services for children, but some of the focus of that is what do we do as adults to take care of ourselves so that we can be, so we can support children. We also have a behavioral threat assessment training, weather permitting, over the next 2 days to train additional professionals in behavioral threat assessment to identify students that may need some additional support and may need to be referred for additional counseling. And then on the 22nd is the statewide school safety summit, and I believe Dr. Salmon is bringing remarks there to open that with the Maryland Center for School Safety. And then as it relates to student services. Oh, I'm sorry.
That we are, I'll be seeing whether we're going to hold that. We're going to try to make a decision around noon today because we have over 250 people attending. We don't want to jeopardize that kind of participation with issues with the weather and school systems, you know, having issues with the weather. So we may have to reschedule because it's such an important thing. But we'll make an announcement today. But absolutely. Thank you for mentioning it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And then with the focus on student services, you'll see some meeting dates there. As Mary mentioned, Dr. Nelson is with the school psychologists today. And we have a meeting coming up in the spring on the 23rd and 24th with our directors of student services. And at that meeting, we plan to also bring in Ed Clark from the Maryland Center for School Safety to address the group and to update our directors on some of the activities in which they are engaged. The purpose of all of these meetings and the collaboration is to make sure that we keep the focus on mental health. Mary talked about the redesigning the web page. We actually, in a conference room downstairs, printed out all of our pages, laid them out, and tried to do some storyboard type of an activity to make sure that the pages that we had and the information we had was relevant, and to make sure that the site itself was easily navigable, and to make sure that we had the most recent information on our website. So once it does launch, we'd be confident that the information is there for those to access. We're going to continue our collaboration with the Maryland Children's Mental Health Campaign. Mary mentioned that Mental Health Month, Awareness Month, is in May. The department is in the process of shooting a public service announcement, which would be aired through our social media sites and our MSDE sites soon. And we're looking forward to that in preparation for Mental Health Month. The idea here, of course, is to get the information out and to make sure that folks are aware of mental health as an issue, and to make sure that we destigmatize mental health, and to make sure that that we're communicating the proper message. We're going to also continue to monitor legislation and information that's coming from the governor's executive order. We've had a preliminary meeting with the Maryland Center for School Safety, and we talked about keeping youth mental health first aid that's being provided by our project AWARE that Mary talked about, and keeping that information on hand, and also making sure that we, once the grant expires in 2019, that we can look forward to some sustainability. We also talked about suicide prevention initiatives. We mentioned Senate Bill, House Bill 920, which expands the requirement that all certificated personnel be trained. Well, we're hoping that we can use some of the funds from this executive order to provide school systems with some of that training. And then finally, we're looking forward to continuing our collaboration with the Maryland Department of Health with our suicide prevention efforts. One thing we'd like to do is expand our youth mental health first aid training, which is now available for middle and high school to elementary school. And that's where we are right now with implementation.
You know, so you can see that we have accomplished many things with the Mental Health Committee, and certainly we are very proud of the things that have been accomplished. It has taken a great deal of initiative, a great deal of work, a great deal of cooperation and insight into the issue of mental health across the state. And certainly I would be remiss if I did not thank Dr. Simpson for her contributions to the committee as well. So we look forward to continuing the work that we have started, and we certainly know that with the guidance that we have with board members as well as the state superintendent, that many good things will continue to be accomplished.
Very good. Thank you. So I think this is a good segue into the regulations related to this.
Oh, I just want to thank you.
Oh, please.
I do want to publicly thank all of you guys. We've become a family after about a year. And I do Walt and Deborah, who do a lot of work behind the scenes, and just is all appreciated, and the leadership. And I know you keep putting it back on us, but it's been Mary and Dr. Lawson that has been doing tremendous leadership to work through so many things. And I just wanted to say publicly, thank you. Thank you for all your efforts on top of all the other things that you've done. Just what you've done for the kids of Maryland, and we just appreciate you. Thank you.
And Mr. Smith.
Dr. Guyton, would you like to add to that?
You didn't get enough kudos there? No, I mean, I know that Stephanie understands that I feel the same way. I mean, we were blessed with this team just sort of coming at you saying we really want to do something to make a difference. And this team came together to make that, to bring that to fruition and to make it important and something that would be sustainable. So, you know, that is a fabulous, fabulous way to run a committee. And I also think that just each of you that's participated, and Deborah, who's not here tonight, has such a pure heart about these issues. And that's what really strikes me the most, is that it does mean a lot to you. It's not just a job to you, and that's exactly the kind of person that I love having to work around here. So thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to ask, in your deliberations and your discussions, was there anything that was discussed as it relates to training students and I guess changing the health curriculum and things like that, that would allow students to not only help them recognize the signs, I guess, and symptoms of other students that may be going through mental health challenges and finding ways to get those students support, but also with the human trafficking aspect of it, has there been any discussion about what we can do in terms of health curriculum to address that piece of this discussion?
I certainly would not have the knowledge or expertise that Dr. Williamson has as far as the curriculum is concerned, so I would allow her to elaborate on that. But what we really discussed was the fact that we could assist adults, train adults, and then allow each local school system to make a determination about how they would use that knowledge and information.
Okay. And I would just, maybe since the committee is still new and you're doing your work, I would just ask, that be something to look at, especially with training students, because I think particularly for the human trafficking aspect, it becomes a safety issue, making sure that students have the knowledge and the wherewithal to know what to do in an event and to even recognize a potentially dangerous situation. So I think that could be something that you all do as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to say that early on, as Ms. Izzard and Dr. Guyton know, we did look at the standards for health curriculum, so I can't pull that up right now, but I think the standards are there in probably at a higher level, but to your point, we'll certainly take a look and dig in and review those again. So thank you for that recommendation, and we are committed, very committed, to working with students, and we'll have some other things to announce as we move forward. So thank you.
Yeah, and we had talked about several programs that are actually related to the ones in our resource guide that dealt with training students to recognize other students in need, and that's what I hear you saying. Yeah, so that hopefully we can expand those and make those available as well. And possibly some of the Sandy Hook programming also does that. So,
I think going back to what your question was, there was concern about liability, and that's something we did discuss and with that training of students. And so that's why I think we put it in the hands of the locals, training the adults in the LEAs, and then they can go and make those decisions from there. But for the department, we were concerned about if we put our stamp of approval on a certain program, especially working with minors, there's some possibility liability there. So they are still investigating those things because we do want to continue to move forward.
Okay, and then I guess what I was saying is that's one part of it, but the other part of it is also training students to recognize not only the symptoms that other students might have, but to sort of know for themselves to recognize situations that are potentially dangerous as it relates to human trafficking, because I know that was something that your report, back a couple of months ago actually talked about. So I just think that if we want to have a robust conversation, that we have to include that too, because that's important.
I think that's the curriculum piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the health curriculum, and that's where we would be teaching those kinds of skills. Thank you.
Very
appreciate
good.
It. Good work, everyone.
Thank you.